Hello and welcome to the Influencer Effect. I have a very special guest today. Would you like to introduce yourself?
My name is Kate Riccio, and this is the first time I heard the name of your podcast. It's awesome.
Oh my God, I didn't even tell you my name.
You told me everything there was to know about the podcast
except for the name. Yep.
Good.
That's the butterflies too in the back, like the butterfly effect, the influencer effect.
It's all coming together.
So who are you? What do you post about? What platforms do you post on? Tell us everything.
Well, first of all, it's still so weird to hear me being considered an influencer because never in a million years did I think that would be me.
Yeah.
But I'm Kate Riccio, or Riccio Recaps on some things. Mm-hmm. And I post about all things reality TV,
yes.
Mostly Bravo, but I also love like the CBS shows, the Peacock shows, the Hulu shows. Like I watch it all. A little bit of pop culture kind of goes hand in hand with reality, obviously,
yeah.
But reality is my bread and butter.
I obviously relate to you on that. We're both reality TV show lovers. It's the absolute best. You can talk about it for hours and there's always something to talk about. There's always something in the news.
Well, yeah, and it's like you and I post about very similar stuff. I obviously follow a ton of other reality TV content creators, and I feel like there's so much for us to talk about that we're all talking about different things.
100%.
Like, it's not, to me at least, I don't feel like it's very competitive. Like, I'm learning different things from everybody, and like, we all need to cover the bases. We're all necessary.
No, 100%. And I said this in a previous episode, but I had the perception that it was going to be very competitive when entering the influencer space, that everyone was going to kind of keep to themselves and be like, you know what, like, I'm going to keep you at arm's distance. We're posting the same thing. Like, I don't want to interact with the competition or whatever. And it's literally been the opposite. Like, everyone has been so warm and welcoming. And I'm pretty new to the game. Like, I've only been posting consistently for about a year. So like, I've loved every minute of interaction I've had with other content creators. It's been amazing. Have you had like a similar experience?
Same exact experience. Like, I've made friends through this, which is so funny. And it's like people that I follow online that it's like, wait, we're both in LA. We should get a drink. And yeah, I assumed that it would be more competitive. And I've live in LA and I've worked in other aspects of film where it is competitive, like behind the camera. So it's so interesting to me that in front of the camera is actually less competitive than anything else I've ever worked in before. And we need each other.
Yeah. No, 100%. Like, so many people have been more than willing to do this podcast, which I've just been so grateful for. I was not expecting it at all. I always pitch it as a like, no hard feelings if you say no, like totally fine. I totally get it. And everyone has been like just so nice and kind and like wanting to help me out. And it's so welcoming and nice and like such.
You also sent like the nicest DM I think I've ever received in my life. So I don't know how anybody could possibly say no. But I also think maybe there's something to like, I don't know. I feel like a lot of people start talking about reality TV online for a similar way of like for me at least, I was like, I have all this knowledge and no one to tell it to.
Exactly.
Like at the time I didn't have that many friends that were watching these shows. So I was like, let me just put it somewhere.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, people started following. And I think that's why it's fun to have friends that are in a similar space, because like you just talk about it.
No, it feels like a conversation. And like I'll see like your video or like another reality TV creator's video and I'll be like, oh my God, I didn't know that. And like I'm like sat watching the video. Like I need to see it through to the end because I'm so fascinated by it. And it's great to see that there are so many other people out there who are also fascinated by it, who follow us and like want to keep up to date on everything. Like it's so cool. And like, yeah, like kind of what you were saying, people in my everyday life were like, I don't care. Go talk to someone else about this. And I was like,
right.
I guess I'll talk to my phone about it.
Yeah, what's the big deal?
Yeah.
Tom Sandoval cheated on someone. I'm like, you don't get it.
You don't get it. It's a huge deal. And I could talk for you an hour about it.
Like, literally, 100%.
How long have you been posting?
Well, it's funny. Great segue. Because my first video was something post-Scandoval. So I didn't start posting right when Scandoval happened. It was like maybe a couple months after, and I just had like a theory.
Yeah.
So I made like a quick little video before bed, no makeup, wasn't like, I didn't give a shit, right? And then I woke up and it had like a decent amount of views, which looking back, it probably had 50,000 views. Mm-hmm. But to me, I'm like, I'm famous. People care about what I have to say. Amazing. So, which 50,000 views is a lot. Mm-hmm. So I was like, you know, this was back when I was spending hours and hours on the Vanderpump Rules Reddit. Like, I was so invested in this and I just knew so much.
Yeah.
So then I kind of took it seriously and was like, why not? Why not? Don't I post every now and then, you know? I didn't even have 1,000 followers. And then as I started growing, it kind of became more feasible of like, maybe I could hit 1,000. Yeah. And then it's like, well, maybe I could hit 10,000 and start making money from this. And then, you know, you get it. You just start growing and growing. And for me, it was fun. And I loved talking about it. And it finally felt like, it's going to sound like very woe is me, but like, I finally felt good at something. Like,
no, that's great.
Yeah, like, I'm like, I know more about this than most people. I'm not good at math. I don't play a sport. I don't exercise. This is my thing. Okay.
No, I totally relate to that. That is so real. Like, I was the girl who was sat at my computer watching all of the YouTubers in 2016, like obsessing over that. Like, I was probably the only one in my high school who was that deep into that drama. And like, so I didn't have anyone to talk to about it. And like, I continued to follow all the content creators, all the influencers, watch all the reality TV. And I had all this knowledge that I was like, what am I doing with this? Nothing.
Right.
And being able to monetize off of something that you're so passionate about is just so rewarding. Like, it's just so rewarding and it doesn't feel like a job, but also it is definitely work, but it's like you're putting in the hours, but you're enjoying the hours you're putting in, which is great.
It definitely felt so. Then for these past, I guess you could say 2 years, I had a full-time job the whole time I was doing this. I just quit my job in November.
So exciting.
But, and I always say though, it's like, I quit my job to do this full time, but I was not making the amount of money that justified me quitting my job. Like, it was a send for sure. Like,
but that's so many entrepreneurs and like, just like, you know, business owners' story is they didn't have the means and resources that they might have like technically needed in order to start their own business, which is what this is. And then look at them now, you know, like, why not go for it? Especially like we're young, you know, like, why not?
Yeah. Well, I'm in my 30s. So it was kind of a send to be like, well, I've been working for 10 years trying to go up a ladder and I'm just going to completely shift my career. But I'm with you. It's like, I am young and I don't know. So I moved out to LA in 2015. That's when I graduated college. I went to college for film. I was like, I'm going to work in TV. So I always kind of did something like in this realm. I worked on Modern Family. That was like my big job.
I need to hear about that.
It was like the best job
ever. Oh, my God.
I started there as a production assistant. Did that for a couple years. Had like a couple other jobs on different shows. And I was really like, I compare everything to a ladder, but it's like the most cliche thing, but it makes the most sense. Like, I was really climbing up this ladder to become a producer. I wanted to be a scripted comedy television producer. That was my dream. Mm-hmm. And I was getting there, right?
Yeah.
I got the job in Modern Family. I was getting promoted. I was working my way up. I was finally starting to get like associate producer, which is like baby producer, junior producer on stuff. And then, so I'm on that ladder. I'm like halfway up, and then COVID happens, and it knocks me down. Whatever, everybody was affected by it. It is what it is. Mm-hmm. So then I kind of start climbing up that ladder again. I'm like, okay, I'm back on. And then this big writer strike happened, and it kind of knocked me off again. Like, no one was really making anything. Everyone was fighting over these jobs post COVID. Like, they weren't hiring as many people as they used to be hiring. Mm-hmm. You know, maybe a job that was there for me isn't there anymore. I don't know. There was just all these different factors. And I had a pretty good job. I was working for a production company. I was the vice president.
Wow.
Which still, I'm just living a world of imposter syndrome. But like
feel me, that.
Vice president. But it was a very small company. But we weren't doing much. And it was out of our control because there was this writer's strike and no one wanted to buy anything. No one wanted to make anything. And I found myself making TikToks a lot because I had all this time. So I was like, why not make some extra money while I'm doing this? And then it got to a point where I realized it's okay to change your dream.
Yeah.
And I would still love to be a producer someday, but I'm now more focused on like, do what you love, do what makes you happy. And like, this was making me happy. Mm-hmm. And I was, again, not making as much money as I was at my job, but I was way happier creating content, talking about reality TV, doing all that stuff. So I figured if I've accomplished, I mean, at this point I had over 100,000 followers on TikTok. So I was like, if I've accomplished this while having a full-time job, I can only imagine like what I could accomplish not having a full-time job and making this my full-time job. So that's what really made me want to like take the leap.
That is just so impressive. And just like, I think that's so inspirational as well for like people who are listening who maybe want to start posting content. Like you don't have to all of a sudden one day be like, I'm going to be a full-time content creator and quit my job. Like you said, it can be a ladder. It can be like a slow climb up to that point. And like I was telling you before we started recording, I kind of was pushed a little because I did get laid off, but it was also pushed me in the direction that I'm in today. And it's my favorite, like this job is my favorite job I've ever had. Granted, I've only worked a couple jobs. I am 25. I almost said I'm 24. I'm 25. But
own it. You're 25.
But it's so amazing. And if I can somehow work for myself doing something I love for the rest of my life, I will be so happy. And since I have that opportunity right now, why not take it?
Right. There's more than one ladder. Mm-hmm. You know, I was for so many years, I've been in LA for 10 years now. And for nine of those years, I thought there was one ladder. Mm-hmm. And I kept trying to get back on that same ladder without realizing there's a million other ladders I could be trying to climb up. And, you know, I also do think I had the privilege of, I've always had a job mm-hmm. out here. And I've witnessed a lot of my friends who've really struggled having jobs out here. I've been really lucky. I've had consistent work, consistent paycheck that I did feel like, you know what, if I want to take this leap, I have a bit of a safety net and I've never been unemployed, really. So let me just try this. And I just have to keep telling myself, if it doesn't work out, I'll get another job.
Exactly. You know?
And it's funny because I quit my job and then a month later, TikTok was banned. So I was like, well, maybe that other job's coming a bit sooner than expected. Mm-hmm. But my thing is like, you can't put too much stake into it. And I have learned that since I started doing this full time, my mindset has kind of been changing in like a bad way, I feel. And I need to like snap out of it of like, when I had another job, this was fun. I don't get a lot of views on a video, whatever. Yeah. Put way too much mm-hmm. stake into it. I'm starting to get like, anxiety when a video doesn't perform well. And I don't want to be that person.
No, I completely relate to that. Like my boyfriend's an occupational therapist. Couldn't be more different than this job. The opposite side of the spectrum. And he'll come home from work and he'll see I'm like a little sad. And he'll be like, what's wrong? I'm like, I don't know. Like videos just aren't performing today. Like blah, blah, blah. And you feel like you're just going to be in that hole. But then the next day a video will get like 500,000 views. And you're like, all right, I'm back up there. Like it's such an ebb and flow. And that's just like what you have to realize with this job and something I have to constantly remind myself as well. There's going to be slow news days. There's going to be days where people just, your video's not getting pushed out for whatever reason. But the worst thing you could do is like give up because the next day things will probably be fine. Or maybe it'll take 2 days and the algorithm will find your videos again. You know, like I find myself freaking out and then the next day being like, oh, I was freaking out over nothing, you know?
Right. And then sometimes I do just have to like snap myself out of it. Like, bitch, it's a fucking video. Yeah. Like, sorry for my horrible language, but like, that's what I have to say to myself. Like, it's not that serious. Like, you're making these little videos for fun. And sometimes I feel ridiculous to like get upset when like, I'm not getting that many views. Mm-hmm. I just want to keep doing what I love. And I know like a lot of people make fun of influencers, and like when TikTok was being banned, it's like, oh, you have to get a real job now. It's like, it sound like a broken record for like all content creators and influencers, but like this is a full-time job.
100%. Like,
and people follow you for a reason, and you do feel like you have like, I don't know how to say it. Like I have a job to them to like provide them with the news. And I just want to be able to do that.
100%. Yeah. I think it's hard because like I realize every day how fortunate I am that this is my full-time job, and I never want it to come across that I'm not taking that for granted. But at the same time, I do work hard, and I feel like that's almost controversial to say, but like, I work hard. Like I put in a lot of work and effort to what I'm posting online, and also just like the backside of it, answering emails, doing sponsorships, launching this podcast. Like there is a lot of stuff that's going in on the back end that a lot of people don't know about because they're just seeing the final product. Doing the research, being like, I'm not just posting a video without doing ample research on the topic I'm talking about because I don't want to sound like an idiot, which I have before because I've had like bad sources by accident. You know what I mean? Like, then I have to make a correction video, which is like, fine, people make mistakes, but like, you know, there is work, especially when you're doing pop culture and reality news that goes into it. Is it fun work? Absolutely. Love watching those shows. Like most of the time it's great. Like, and that is considered work for us. But like, you know, I think it's hard. It's a hard concept to grasp, especially because it is such a new job.
Yeah, I definitely feel like I of anyone, and by the way, I still also feel new to this. I know it's been like I said, 2 years, but I only have a TikTok presence. I barely have an Instagram presence. I might as well not even exist on YouTube. Like, it's so weird, like what people latch to and what they don't. So it's like, although I love TikTok, it's my favorite app, and although I do feel like I'm doing really well there, it's like then I go to Instagram and I'm like, oh, no one here knows who I am, you know? But I think I have a really interesting, like what sets me apart from different content creators is I was on the back end of this for so long. I worked in production forever, and I kind of saw, you know, I started in 2015. Obviously, Instagram existed, but I worked on a show once where they hired Cara Delevingne over someone else because she had more followers.
Wow. You know?
Like, and I'm seeing that happen, like, with my little, like, phone connected to my ear, like, at my little assistant desk. And now, like, I'm on the other side of it. So it's, like, it's been really helpful because, like, I know the back end stuff. But it's also been a little difficult because I know the back end stuff. Like, I'll be up for something and I know I'm not going to get it, but they're stringing me along and they're sending me the type of emails that my bosses used to send to people.
Yeah.
And it's like, I can read right through this. Just tell me I'm not getting the opportunity and let's like move on from here. I also worked for Julie Bowen for a very long time.
Wow.
She played the mom.
Yes. I know who she is.
A lot of people would like need me to be like, she's the blonde mom on Modern Family. But, and that's not really like a secret. I have been in like some videos on her TikTok and stuff. But I got to see the back end on that of like someone who has a ton of followers having to go through her managers for certain things. And I worked with the brands that like she worked with, like to help like figure out what she needed to post on her story, what she needed to post on her TikTok. So I feel so lucky that I got to do that because it really helped prepare me to do this for myself.
Yeah. No, that's first of all, so cool. I need to like deep dive into your Modern Family and like your whole connection there, because that's like a whole different podcast on its own, but that is really cool. I've always been fascinated by like LA and the industry and all of that, like hence my pop culture account, but that is so interesting. And like knowing, I had no knowledge of the backside and like still am kind of, you know, it's blurry for me because I am, you know, front facing, but speaking of all of this, we kind of talked about this before we started recording, but we're both signed to management. Do you want to talk us through like what that process was like, finding a management team and what it's been like working with a management team as an influencer?
Definitely. And yeah, just to put a bow on what we just talked about, to your point exactly, it's like there's so many of us that have – that's why I said like I had an advantage. So many of us – make a viral video, get quote famous, and get taken advantage of and by managements, and they don't know how these things work. So it is tough. And how I got my manager is actually very similar to how you got your manager. Is I actually met someone at my gym.
Wow.
And he was saying, like, he does book talk and, you know, he's all about books. And he was just like, yeah, I have a manager. I love my management company, blah, blah, blah. It was totally in passing. I got home and I go, I wonder who his management company is. I go to his page. I look in his bio and I send them a cold email. Yeah. And now they're management company. So, and they've been really great. And it helps. I will say another advantage I have is I am in LA. I'm LA based. I messaged this management company and had no idea that one of the guys that works there is engaged to one of my good friends.
Oh my God.
She texts me and she's like, you know, so-and-so works there. I'm like, oh, I had no idea. So like, it was nice because now I'm working with someone that I know previously. Yeah,
that's huge.
Yeah. Again, an advantage, but I mean, it could be a disadvantage because it's like then you're like working with friends, but it's been an advantage for me so far.
Feels like the perfect connection because it's not like your best friend works there, but a friend's significant other, I feel like, is like the perfect, like just enough removed, but you still trust them. Like,
yeah. And this has only been like 3 weeks of me. I hadn't had a manager this entire time. I mean, I made an email address.
Me too.
That like said management in it, but it like was just me. I was
stuff like that.
Yeah, well, I'm a manager now, people. Yeah. So I'll tell you all my secrets. Yeah, I just was like, you know what, this will make me look cool. So fuck it, who cares? But because you know, fake it till you make it, Samantha. But it's interesting because I also have not gotten many sponsorships. I've maybe had 3 or 4 in like the 2 years I've been doing this, but I'm also not big on Instagram. And I have learned it pays to have an Instagram presence.
It does.
Totally.
It does.
Like, and that's something people have been telling me to make an Instagram forever because I just had a personal one and I didn't want to combine the two. Mm-hmm. And I've been told by many people that that is the wrong move. They're like, you should only have one Instagram. But I like to have the Instagram that like
I have
keep
two.
Up with trends. Yeah.
I have two. The people I know from high school don't need to see my pop culture posts if they don't want
to. That's the thing. I'm like, my Uncle Stan doesn't need to know what's going on in reality TV.
Yeah.
Nor does he care. So, yeah, then I finally made a separate one, and which I felt better about than just combining the two. And I've noticed more things are coming from that. But yeah, Samantha, it's like crazy. The rates that I was asking when it was just me are thousands of dollars cheaper than what my manager has been asking for. Mm-hmm. And it just goes to show, it's like you can really lowball yourself, but you don't want to miss out on the opportunity. So I'll be like, oh yeah, like $500 to make a video. That's great. That's like, I'll do that a million times over. And then you get this manager who's asking for well over 1,000, maybe well over 2,000 for one video.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And it made me realize, like, I've even asked some peers, you know, I've met some people out here and they've told me, they've been like, girl, you need to up that rate. But I'm just afraid because you don't want to miss out on the opportunity for asking too much.
But something my management told me is you want to like know your worth. And like sometimes it's worth, like if the brand or company is not willing to pay your rate that you know you deserve, then it's worth skipping on them for a better opportunity in the future, which is hard. I totally feel that. I'm like, money's money. Like, let's just, you know, go for it. But no, I think that is good advice, you know, knowing your worth and knowing like, hey, like I have like over 200,000 followers, that's a lot of people who will be potentially seeing this video, you know, and like who listen to what I say somewhat. Some are still, you know, probably hate watching, but that's okay. So followers are followers.
Like, yeah. Engagement. Exactly. Well, now that's another thing with me too, is I don't know that I would have been able to do this if I wasn't 31 years old. Like if I was doing this when I was 22, I don't know that I would have had the self-esteem to be able to handle being public online. And I was posting, like I've always been on Instagram. I've always had Snapchat. I've had TikTok the second it came out and was posting like dumb little videos with my friends. And I thank God that I never went viral until the time that I did. Because I, like I said, I don't think I'd be able to handle it. Now, granted, I don't know about you, but I don't really get many hateful comments because I'm only really posting about reality TV. So it's like, people can disagree with like my opinion. Like, I don't really care if people are like, you like, I don't know, Lisa Barlow. Like, yeah. I hate Lisa Barlow. It's like, okay, that's a difference in opinion. Now it's, I don't love it when people are like, your bangs look like shit today. Like, yeah. I'm like, okay.
There's a major difference there. And I think because we're not posting about ourselves, like I really empathize or sympathize, whichever one means, I don't know, but I, you know what I mean, with the, with the lifestyle creators out there who are sharing their lives, and that is what they're getting scrutiny for. Yes. And like, yes, sometimes I'll get, I got a comment the other day, like, put some makeup on. I was like, no, no, yeah, this is my face. Deal with it. Like, I don't care.
I just got, it's funny. It's like the bigger you get, obviously, the more hate you receive. And I really hadn't, I'd been lucky. I really hadn't received much. I mean, people do always have something to say about my bangs, but
I love your bangs. I think it's your like signature look and people know, and like, it's how I recognized you multiple times when I first saw your videos.
That's good to know. Here's the thing. At the time that I was getting a lot of bang hate, I did have a bad haircut. I cut them myself. It was bad. And I couldn't even be mad because these people were right, okay? It just surprised me how open they were to tell me how bad the bangs looked. But just yesterday, I got a DM that was like, you need to start pronouncing the T's in written or else I can't stand your voice. And then I look and they followed me and I'm like, then why do you follow me?
No, I get stuff like that all the time. People think I talk too slow. I'm like a slower talker, especially when I'm trying to like enunciate things. And it's just like either I talk too fast and I sound like I have a stutter, or I sound like, which there's nothing wrong with, or I sound like someone once said my tongue was too big for my mouth. That stuck with me.
What?
One of the most bizarre insults I've ever received.
Detailed. Thing, it's like, it's such, that's why I couldn't have ever done this when I was younger, because like people will point out things that you've never even noticed about yourself. Like, yikes. Like, I don't know, we all have our issues. I have a way thicker skin now than I did 5-10 years ago.
I so, definitely, yeah, I agree with that. I mean,
credit, like you said, to the lifestyle influencers.
Yeah,
and that was something my manager told me. He goes, I want you to start putting your personality out there more, maybe do some vlogs. And I'm like, but that's just opening up a door.
Yeah.
But I mean, he's right, but still, it's just, we're playing it safe right now. Like, everyone just fight about Sheena, not about the way I look, please.
Yeah, no, seriously. Like, you can have a differing opinion than me. That's completely fine. But don't tell me that my tongue's too big.
Right. That's also weird. Like,
weird. I'm like, what? How do you even know? Like, you're not seeing my tongue.
Be absolutely arrested.
But no, it's crazy. And my boyfriend initially was like, I don't want you posting on social media. You're too sensitive. I am a sensitive person. Like, he wasn't trying to discourage me from doing it. He was like, go for it. But I, like, he was worried about my mental health. And as like a good boyfriend would be. And I was just like, I think I'm going to go for it. I think it's worth it. But like, I do find myself, when I find myself being like, oh, they hate me, blah, blah, blah. And like, I'm just not reading the comments on whatever video is like, you know, extracting the hate almost. Like, I'll just like either, I'll turn off the comments if I have to. I've only done that like maybe once or twice when it's gotten like really bad and it's like hit the wrong side of TikTok. And I'm like, this is just becoming hateful. Or, yeah, you know, it's just like too controversial. And like, I'm just like, people are saying horrible things about each other, not even about me, in the comments.
Dude, so some of the fights in the comments are crazy. You know how? And it's funny because sometimes people will call me out and they'll be like, you're deleting my comments. And I'm like, actually, I'm not.
TikTok is
filtered. Yeah. You're saying the most insane things. And like, I don't think a lot of people realize that, like, your comments get filtered. You have to go in and approve
it. Yeah.
And I'm not about to approve comments of people just saying horrendous things to other people in my comments. Exactly. Sorry, I'm not gonna enable that type of behavior. If it gets posted and I don't see it, what can I do? But like, I'm not gonna be like, oh, you're calling this person fat and ugly? Approve.
Exactly.
That's crazy.
No, exactly. And I'm like, if I see a very hateful comment, I'll even go and delete that. Like, not usually the ones that are at me, because I'm like, whatever, I can take it. I signed up for it. But like the ones that are with like being said about other people, I'm like, that's, it's too much. No one signed up for that.
Keyboard warriors are a real thing. And it's funny because in doing this, I have so much more sympathy for people that are on reality TV, since that's really what I talk about. And I've noticed, like, I guess I just had never really noticed before because I wasn't really looking, but I could post a video about something about Vanderpump Rules and someone will say something horrible about one of the cast members, tag them. And I'm like, you understand, like, those are real people. Like, just because you're only seeing them through a screen, like, would you say that to them face to face? And some of the comments I've seen about some of these people are really bad. So like, I will always delete them. Like, if you tag them in one of my videos and you're saying something bad, it's going to get deleted.
Yeah, no, I completely agree with that. And I think I have to like also look, you know, just look back at myself and like, even a year ago, I was just posting whatever, like posting my opinions and stuff. And like, I was never saying anything like hateful or anything, but I'd be like, I think this person, like I was much more like opinionated than I am now, because I realize how what I say can sometimes come off as hurtful. And I never want to do that to someone because I've seen it done to me and I've seen it done to other people. And it's just, it's bad. It's not nice. And no one needs that in their life, you know?
Totally. And that's funny. Wow. Did you hear that stutter?
No, I've been stuttering this whole time.
That was an interesting one. It's another factor of me living in LA as well, because I always try to be non-biased just in case I see any of these people. And I mean, there are some people that, I mean, look, there are some creators that I follow that just do not hold anything back. And they can be mean. And I understand the appeal to follow them. Yeah. And I, it's like, they can say whatever they want. They're never going to see these people. But like, I remember I made a video. I think about this all the time. I made a video. Vanderpump Rules is my thing, right? That's how I started. So that's why I just keep referencing it. And I made a video because I didn't like the way that Sheena was acting during season 11. And I made a pretty biased video about how I didn't like that. And then a couple weeks later, I saw Sheena and it was just like a pit in my stomach. Yeah. I felt horrible because now granted, she probably doesn't even know who I am, but maybe she does.
She might have seen it. You never know.
Yeah, you never know. And like, I hated the way that I felt seeing her and being like, oh my God, does she not like me? Mm-hmm. Or did I hurt her feelings? Yeah. Like, and it made me realize, like, I need to sometimes separate the character from the person, because I stand by what I said. I didn't like the way she was acting in season 11, but she is still a person and I still might see her and I never want to be fake, you know? So it's like, I also have a thing where I don't go up and talk to them if I'm out and I see them, where it's like, because I'm like, look, if I'm making videos about you online and now I'm seeing you like out in the wild, I don't want to be a complete and utter stalker.
Yeah.
No, like, I feel that. About you online, I'm not about to go say hi to you and be like, because I also don't want them to feel like whatever they say to me, I'm then going to like talk about it. So I just, and I always say that to my friends, I'm like, I don't say hi. And they're like, Kate, like, it's your job. Like, you're keeping them in business by talking about like their shows online. I just don't see it that way. I did have a really great moment that helped put a lot into perspective for me, though. I'll share this story with you. I was at a party that I had no business being at. My friend works for Entertainment Weekly, and she got me an invite, and it was like a reality TV party.
My God, were you dying?
Yes. Every single person you could name, like, was there. Housewives, Mormon wives, every Bravo show, Bachelors, people on the challenge. Like, it was wild.
Oh my God.
And I was just a fly on the wall. I was not talking to anyone because I'm like, I just want to take it all in. I don't want to overstep. Like, I was there with a friend. So I did not say anything to anybody, right? And then maybe that's something I need to get over. But Ariana Maddox was like hosting this event. Like, she was on the mic welcoming everyone. Like, this was her event. So I damn well was not going to say anything to her. And I'm just standing talking to my friend, and I get a tap on my shoulder, and I turn around, and it's Ariana Madix. And she goes, "Oh my God, I love your videos." And I was so thrown off, Samantha. I look at her and I just said, "Shut the fuck up." Like I could not comprehend what was happening. And this was right after I had really my one and only like big viral video that went out. Was I did this series where I was recapping Taylor Frankie Paul on Secret Lives of Mormon mm-hmm. Wives. And I assume that's what she said.
I remember that was, series like, of yours.
They blew up. It was awesome. But and she was like, "Yeah, like you teach me about all these shows that I don't watch and you keep me in the loop." And I actually did say to her, I go, "This is really helpful to hear come from you," because I told her what I just told you. I'm like, "I feel weird kind of being at these types of events because I'm always talking about you guys and I don't want you to feel like I'm, you know, XYZ, whatever." And she literally looked at me and she goes, "You're just doing your job. Like you're helping keep all of us relevant by making those videos. Like keep it up," something like that.
Confirmed. And he's the best. I remember
like she walked away and I was like, and my friends were like, "Are you good?" I'm like, "I actually don't know what just happened." Like it was just like the validation that I needed of like, just keep doing it because it isn't. Yeah. And it's like, they don't hate you, but it also further proved to like, don't talk shit about anyone, because if I were, granted, there's really not many bad things to say about current day Ariana Madix, but like, had I had made like a negative video about her, that would have never happened. It's just like, just be nice. Yeah. You know, I'm like, I want to put kindness into the world. I want to receive kindness. And it's kind of the motto I'm getting at. Now, granted, sometimes Jax Taylor is acting crazy or Tom Sandoval does something insane. And like, I have to be real.
Yeah. It's hard. It's hard walking that line. And like, even just a couple months ago, there was a rumor going around that Ariana Madix and Katie Maloney had like a falling out. And I posted a video about it very objectively, not being like, "This is true." I was like, "There's a rumor going around. This is crazy. If it's true, like, I hope it's not." Like, I don't even know if I said, I don't know exactly what I said, but it wasn't like, "Screw them. They deserve to like have a friendship breakup." But then I like saw someone else post a video being like, "You shouldn't be spreading this rumor." And I felt, I looked inward and I was like, "No, I shouldn't. I shouldn't be spreading this rumor." Like, you know.
That happened to me very recently where there was a rumor going around and it was like, it was something about the traitors. Mm-hmm. And I just made a video of like, "Hey, here's the word on the street. Here's the rumor." And I also felt that it was objective. And I got a very similar comment of like, "Your help helping give fuel to the fire by posting this video." And I just deleted the video because mm-hmm. I'm like, you know what? They're right. And I don't want to make money off of spreading a rumor about someone that might not be true. And if you have a problem with it, then I'm going to take what you're saying at face value and I'm just going to delete the video. And that's kind of been my new thing now of like, if there's an issue with a video, then I don't want to make money off of it. If there's a consensus, you know, so then I delete it, you know. But you can't keep just delete videos.
It's also hard because like we do have to report on rumors if that's what's in the news, you know. It's hard. It's hard walking that line, you know, and like people want to hear about them. Like people, I'll get comments like, "Why aren't you making a video about this?" Like there's like some celebrities I just won't give the time of day because I just think they're terrible people. And I know I'll say some things that I'm just like, I don't want to say that online, you know, it's not nice. And I'll get comments like, "Why aren't you making a video about this?" And I'm like,
"Yeah,
well, there's a reason, you know, like
sometimes you just never win, you know?" And yeah, it's damned if you do, damned if you don't. Right. Mm-hmm. If you make a video on it, people could say, why are you talking about this? Why? Blah, 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 blah. You don't, people get pissed at you for not addressing
yeah.
it. It is what it is. Like you're not going to be able to appease everyone. So you always have to appease number one first, which is yourself, and then take it from there.
Exactly. No, that's such a great point. And we are almost out of time, unfortunately. This has been so fun. I feel like it's just like been like a nice conversation. I have all these questions written out that we like touched on without me even having to like ask you, which is like so great. I love that. But my final question is if you have any advice for someone who wants to start posting on social media, who wants to become a content creator, just one piece of advice, what would it be?
I feel like this is one a lot of people say, but it is true, is like stay true to yourself. It's very easy to get wrapped up in the views. And it's very, like, if I were to make a slam video on someone, it could get a million views. I could make $1,000 off of it, but that's not who I am as a person. So, like, just stay true to who you are and the type of content you want to make. And don't get worked up if it doesn't get that many views. You cannot control the algorithm. That's actually the biggest piece of advice. Yeah. You cannot control the algorithm. It makes no sense. The algorithm is a fake, shitty thing that, like, just let it go.
Like, honestly, let it go is just such a good mantra to have in this industry. Like, it's all going to be okay in a day. I won't name names, but I had a Love is Blind adjacent person reach out to me being like, I'm getting all this hate online because of the Love is Blind season. And I'm like, it'll be over in 2 weeks. Like, you know, like, that sucks to hear, but it's true. Like, no one is going to care in 2 weeks.
Yeah. Another thing too, that I, more advice is, like, again, I haven't had that many brand deals, but I would never do a brand deal that doesn't align with, like, who I am or what I, like, talk about too. Like, I don't, and I guess that kind of goes with being true to yourself, but yeah, the new, and like you just said, the news cycle, it refreshes like crazy. Like, it could feel like your walls are crumbling in, and then the next day someone else has an issue. So this too shall pass.
Exactly. Yes. Well, thank you so much for coming on. This was so fun. And plug yourself. Where can people follow you?
Okay. Well, on TikTok, I'm Kate Riccio, KateRiccio. And then on Instagram, I'm Riccio Recaps, but you can find it all on all my bios. And
yeah. I'll link it in the description as well.
Yeah, just look for the shitty bangs and you'll be able to find me.
Look for the gorgeous bangs.
Also, I guess I should have asked you in the beginning if it's okay that I curse. It's you're from the East Coast.
Not, I'm from Boston. We're good.
Thank you for having me, Samantha. I think that this is really cool that you're just taking the initiative and making this thing. And I really hope that you just have so much success because you deserve it. You're a very nice person.
Thank you so much. I appreciate that.